Did anybody make sense out of what we were talking about last time on the whole spirit? It all takes place in the spirit realm.
Oh yeah,
I think.
Yeah, no, it made sense. I don't know if I, we are 15 dimensional creatures. I don't know if I agree with you there. But no, I'm just kidding. We didn't really say that.
No. I'm not sure what the going rate is now. Like 12 or 14. But I listened to that we did, and it played pretty good. It was one of those things that you could like stay up all night talking about. You know,
oh yeah, yeah.
Working it all out. I got kind of rushed toward the end there. But in that, there toward the end, you had mentioned something about the word evil, meaning...
To break.
To break. And that kind of piqued my interest, hearing it the second time around, too.
Okay.
That was a Zinker and Sheridan.
Yeah, that was a... Yeah, it's not the actual Hebrew word doesn't mean to break, but if you take down he's real good at taking the components of a Hebrew or Greek word.
Yeah, roots.
The roots, right, yeah, yeah. And that's where that comes from. It's not necessarily evil. I mean, Hebrew, evil is the English word for the Hebrew, whatever the Hebrew word is, but if you break down the elements of the root, you get the idea of something to it that is broken.
But I kind of like that because in my theory, I was saying that in order for God to create Eve from Adam, he essentially had to break Adam, you know, because he had what was a perfect creature, but in order to multiply that creature, he had to break it.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that's kind of like the evil nature.
Yeah.
You know, you're from just...
The beginning of evil, evil was the breaking of Adam.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So, yeah, that's what I thought when I heard that. And I made that paper that I sent to you guys, I got that posted up online, so
okay.
So all our listeners can have a look at it.
I never sent you guys I told you I had like 8.3 questions. I never sent those to you, did I?
Mm-hmm.
I sent the one thing out about the... answering the dispensational, the hyper, is it ultra? I always forget that. Ultra dispensationalist.
Yeah, which was good reading.
Some of the objections they have to that idea. It just now dawned on me. I'll send those to you tonight. I'm sorry, I completely forgot.
But this is one of the things, that paper I call work in progress, you know,
yeah.
So I'd like to think I could add to that, you know, as the spirit moves me.
Yeah.
And so, as I've been looking into it, things that are kind of getting my attention in regards to that is searches regarding the vine symbology throughout the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
How, I mean, it's a symbology that runs all through there. The vine, things related to fig trees,
mm-hmm.
is really big. I mean, even outside of the fig tree parable, there's a lot of mention of fig trees and talk of roots.
Roots and branches. And
yeah, I think that would all play into the scenario. And even as far as the fig tree, I have to wonder if there's any connection between all the mentioning of fig trees through the Bible and going back to Adam and Eve when they realized where they were naked, they sewed together fig leaves. You know, is there some
kind of connection?
Connection to that thread.
Yeah. There's so many threads that can be followed in the Bible. It's amazing.
But yeah, I haven't really dug too deeply into that. I did come across a question, which kind of goes back to the two Gospels.
Everything leads back to that.
Yeah. The parables, okay, it's kind of, it looks to me, just based on this here, the parables that Jesus spoke dealt with the same mysteries which were revealed to Paul. And based on that sheet where it was like the gospel, you say the gospel that Jesus preached has been preached since the world began.
Mm-hmm. Well, where, I didn't say it. Luke did.
Well,
I'm sorry.
No, I thought that's what you implied on that paper where you were comparing the two gospels in Acts 3:18-21.
Right.
But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So it's not so much what Jesus was saying was being said since the world began. It's the prophecies of Jesus Christ have been, Jesus Christ had been prophesied since the world began, not necessarily his gospel. That, and as compared to Paul's in Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So that was the comparison.
Yes.
Where the Acts quote, I take as more referring to prophecies about Jesus Christ coming, and then what Paul's saying is
the revelation of the mysteries.
The revelation of the mysteries, right. And so, in that, what Jesus was preaching, though, I found in Matthew 13:11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given, he's talking to the apostles there, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So this is, why are you speaking in parables?
Right.
And then down in Matthew 13:35, he tells them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. So this, to me, is Jesus saying, the things that he's saying in his parables are those mysteries. What he's speaking are parabolized mysteries, which is, in essence, he's giving parables of things that Paul's about to preach about.
Okay.
So in that, I think what Jesus is saying is the same thing that Paul is saying. That's what that tells me. Only one you can understand, one you can't understand. So it's same thing, only different.
Yeah. My initial response to that is, if you look at what Paul actually preached, that you are saved outside of the law, you are justified outside of the law because of the cross, that isn't what Jesus preached. He preached, and it says right in, where was it, 13:11? Was that the first place you looked? First verse you
looked? Yeah, 13:11.
Yeah, it says, it is given to, unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, which I think is, again, not heaven. It's the kingdom of the heavens, or heavenly in nature. So it's the kingdom on the earth is what he's talking about. And if you go through, probably even in here in Matthew, everything Jesus told the apostles, even in parable form, was about the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. Whereas Paul doesn't talk about the kingdom of heaven. He talks about our individual, basically overall, our individual salvation. So obviously, Jesus knew the mysteries that he was going to reveal to Paul at some point. But I'm just not convinced that Jesus was revealing the same mysteries that he gave to Paul after the cross that he gave to the apostles before the cross. Because they wouldn't have made it. The apostles, for one thing, didn't believe he was going to die. You know, Peter several times, I'll never let that happen. I'll die for you. And then we see how that worked out. But
I think when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is in you, then
misinterpretation. I know I hate to keep falling back on that, but I think if you look at the concordant version, I think it says the kingdom of heaven is within you, like it's in your midst, it's here. What verse is that? You know, off the top of your head?
No, I don't. That's just one of the, and I think we've looked at this before, and you ended up going, I guess it does say that, doesn't it?
I would never say that. No. Okay. No, I probably did. Let's see if I can find the verse. Holy crap. Okay. I just did a search for kingdom in you in the four Gospels, mm-hmm. and it came up with 13 verses and 41 matches, so that's good. We have a lot of blank space to rip out of this recording, don't we? Dave, sing us a song or something, will you?
I'm clear my throat.
Yeah, that's my job.
No.
But for something as critically diverse as a kingdom in heaven and a kingdom of heaven, you would think there would be more signs that would illustrate the differences in that. And granted, I don't think the apostles necessarily had a firm grasp on.
No, I don't think they did at all.
Here to do what he was saying.
No, I don't think they did at all. This is that hard to find.
Are you talking about where Luke 17, 20, 21,
yeah.
The kingdom of God is within you?
That's the one.
Luke what?
Luke 17, verses 20 through 21.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Good job, Dave.
Google.
That's what I just did.
I was searching these sort. It was there. It came up on the list. I just kept overlooking it.
Oh, okay.
Huh. That concordant even says it even drives it home even more. Neither shall they be declaring lo here or lo there, for lo, the kingdom of God is inside of you. Now, if you look at the literal translation, it says, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Rotherham says, the kingdom of God is among you. And Young's says, within you. It says, the reign of God is within you. So that's even more cryptic.
I mean, the
modern King James says that, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The modern King James.
But, see, now that plays right into my whole internal spiritual...
the Holy
spiritual
Spirit.
Spiritual struggle.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, I can see where it does.
And a lot of what Jesus is saying fits that. And it just... What it's looking like to me, if there's anything about the two Gospels, is the Gospel of Peter is a pre-salvation Gospel, mm-hmm. and the Gospel of Paul is a post-salvation Gospel. Because it seems like Paul is preaching mainly to churches, you know, the people who have already accepted Jesus, and now now that Jesus has got you, this is what this means. Mm-hmm. Where it seems like Peter's gospel was a gospel to the sinners, you know, the people that are far from Christ.
Right.
Because you just don't see, you don't see Paul talking too much about anybody that's not a member of the body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, because he's writing letters to churches that are already established. So yeah, I would assume that most of what he's talking about has to do with people that are already saved. Yes, I would agree with that.
And yeah, with this.
Well, let me put it. Les Feldick is famous for saying, if you watch him, the kingdom is the kingdom is the kingdom. Everything that God talks about, or in everything the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, the New Testament, Peter, Paul, it's still all with under the umbrella of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And it just, so maybe I place too much emphasis on the two Gospels, more than I should. It's all still about God. It's all still about Christ. The main point that I want to make, and the one I want to come away with, is obviously Jesus knew the whole picture. He knew the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, according to Revelation. So he knows all. What the apostles understood, and what Jesus' followers in Israel understood, obviously was not nearly what Jesus knew. So he came to them, for the most part, talking to them about the promised kingdom, the promised earthly kingdom. I am the fulfillment of that earthly kingdom. There's obviously more to it than that. And then he later revealed that to Paul, and Paul went to basically the Gentiles, because the Jews kept rejecting it. So the main reason for even looking at it at a two Gospels thing is just to bear in mind that some of the things that Jesus told the apostles were directly related to things that would happen or will happen in an earthly kingdom. You know, you will heal people. Anything you ask God, he'll do for you. That doesn't work today. He's not doing that. So it helps alleviate some of the confusion over some of the things Jesus said compared to what we see going on today.
Well, however, the when you talk of an earthly kingdom, going back to my new filter now,
okay, is
when Jesus died and left the Holy Spirit here on earth to replace the spirit of Satan, then that in essence leaves Jesus on earth. And if we're the body of Christ, then we are Christ alive on the earth now, and that could be your earthly kingdom right there, you know. And just the fact that Christ is able now to supplant the evil spirits and do his work on using humanity through the Spirit, couldn't that answer a lot of the earthly kingdom stuff? And sure, you don't see people healed like it was back in Pentecost, but think of advances in modern medicine, you know, and that's all done post Holy Spirit, you know, and that we can't take those kind of advances away from the Holy Spirit.
Oh yeah, yeah, I mean, he's definitely inspired all that,
you know. So, and
the main danger I see in what you just said is that it would tend to make the church, the body of Christ, replace Israel in God's plan. It's almost like a replacement theology. Like, Jesus is still here on the earth. We are his body. We're carrying on the work that Israel failed to do.
Which is a theology.
Yeah, yeah. I don't happen to agree with it, but it is a theology.
Right, just as there are those that don't happen to agree with a lot of what we're saying here.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. And there's going to be a lot of people that disagree with most of what we've talked about.
Right.
Anyway.
You know, it just
Yeah, Paul tells us that
for the truth, you can't rule anything out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no. I mean, this is definitely why, you know, it's good to bring it up and discuss it, sure.
Right.
But then, I guess, then why does Paul, in mostly Romans, I guess, talk about how God has put Israel aside? He's put that kingdom gospel, the gospel of the kingdom aside, and gone to the Gentiles without Israel. And then starts revealing all these mysteries that nobody, even Israel, didn't know.
Well, the setting aside is a paraphrase, isn't it? I mean, is that the actual terminology?
I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
Because I know he refers to they've been blinded for a while.
Right.
And that they will come in. I mean, the door is still open to them to accept Jesus as the Messiah, mm-hmm. and get on board with the whole reclaiming humanity for God.
Do you think that's still active today? If a Jew accepts Christ as their Messiah, that is not the gospel that Paul preached.
If they believe in Jesus in the crucifixion, the death and resurrection.
Right, but they don't have to accept him as Messiah to accept that, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And those
then they would be Christians at that point, not Jews. Religiously, I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Which is, there is a plan for salvation, but to cling to the earthly kingdom angle, I mean, to reject out of hand a replacement theology is I don't know. It said that, well, God wouldn't go back on his word. You know, you would like to think if God said it, then you can take it to
take
the bank.
Right. Right.
But there's more than one instance where God has allowed false prophets to go work in his name,
mm-hmm.
and you know, he allowed Satan to have his way with Job, and you know, so if he's capable of these types of things, then I could see where. And there's just so many references to the children of Israel forsaking God.
Yeah, they did a lot. Yeah,
and so many indications that, well, maybe he did. Maybe when they were blinded, they were just blinded to Christianity. You know, they're made. They don't see this. They don't see what we see. That's a form of blindness right there. Mm-hmm. If you can't see the plan for salvation, then you're blind. and if they're clinging to that covenant, which something that where Jesus is talking to, I should take better notes. But in John 8:44, where he's answering some questions of somebody who said they were children of Abraham, and Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil," in John 8:44, "and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And then that's in verse 44, and then down in verse 56, talking to the very same people, he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad."
Okay.
So is he just now calling Abraham the devil?
No, I'm pretty sure he's not.
I mean, we'd like to think he's not, but context. Context is very interesting in that one.
I don't know.
Because we, yeah.
Well, I'm looking at verse 8:48, he says, then answered the Jews. I don't know if that's just the Pharisees or if that's basically everybody else. So is the, has he turned the conversation to the Jews now and away from the Pharisees? I don't know. I'd have to read the whole thing. And, you know, kind of, you're bringing up some things I hadn't thought about, so I'm kind of...
Yeah, and this is just something that, it's the last thing on my notes that just jumped out at me before I came here. And, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm like, hey, God, give me something to take to this meeting. That's what jumped out at me.
Okay. So, would he answer your prayer?
Yeah.
I have to definitely look into this a little bit. Unless you've got other conclusions you want to...
No, I'm just on the...
Down 844, yeah.
I'm talking about blindness on John 10:21. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? And, you know, that's this. Just like if the children of Israel are in a condition of blindness, then Jesus was in a good position to take away the blindness.
Right, right.
And just the...
Well, you definitely give me some things to look into. It does kind of look like he's, because in verse 57 he says, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? That definitely sounds like the still the Pharisees he's talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took up stones to him. They wanted to kill him at that point. I don't know. You have given me food for thought.
And then when they talk about Abraham talking to the Father, and Jesus comes back to him, nobody's seen the Father but me. Yeah, you're left wondering, well, who were they seeing?
Yeah.
Who did they think was the Father?
Yeah.
And then if who they're making covenants with turns out to not even be the Father, then, you know, that just... It makes you wonder about the strength of the covenant to begin with.
Right. So are you, I'm not asking you if you are totally convinced of this yet, but are you of the mind that God basically hasn't just put them aside for a time? He's basically said, you guys, you're done. I'm going to the Gentiles now, and the Gentiles will help me fulfill my plans. The promises I made to you now go to them.
Yeah, I think it all goes to the grafting. You know, when you're grafted out, he's got one good vine, and he talks about the branches that aren't producing fruit are pruned, and then the Gentiles are grafted in, which means it's the same vine that the Jews were on is now being made available to ward the Gentiles. And at such time that the Jews that were cut off accept and believe, then they can be grafted back in. And they'll fit even better as a Jew grafted back in.
Original.
But them getting grafted back in requires their belief.
But so belief in what, I guess, is one of my questions.
Their belief in...
The same thing we believe, I would
right,
say.
Whatever caused us to be grafted in.
Yeah. Right, which would be the cross and not his messiahship.
That's right. And that when a promise was made to Abraham that he would be a father of many nations, and you know that terminology right there,
mm-hmm.
Father of many nations. Doesn't nation always talk about the Gentiles?
Oh yeah, it has to include the Gentiles, yeah.
Yeah, so
because Israel's just one nation.
I mean that,
and he is technically he's the father of all the Arab nations as well. So
right, and we are as Christians, we are beneficiaries of the faith of Abraham, which started this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So. It just strikes me that this is the plan. Jesus came for this plan, and God promised Abraham that he will, about the kingdom of heaven, well, then they have to get on board with God's plan, and which is still open. I mean, they're still going to have to go through judgment. You know, there's no free ride.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to go through the judgment and be corrected before they can be given their glorified bodies to take part in the next age. And when there's the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, then any promises pertaining to Jerusalem are still in effect due to the fact that this is a new Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but that's
in order,
when God fulfills his promises to Abraham.
Right. Because they weren't promised this land for 1,000 years. They were promised this land aeonially.
Right, right. That's a good word, aeonially.
So, to really get the benefit that they are promised in a spiritual sense, going through a tribulation and going through a 1,000-year reign, that's not going to help anybody that's in the ground.
Right.
You know, and so all these Jews that have died through the years, they've had the same promise.
So I was under the impression they would be resurrected at that point before the 1,000 years. So they would be able to partake in the
I think they'll be resurrected for the judgment. And then
the judgment comes at the end of the 1,000 years.
Right. So they'll have to be resurrected to be judged.
Right.
I mean, they're not going to be resurrected to go live in Jerusalem under the rule of Jesus. That's a lot of Jews.
Well, yeah, but they're going to have a new Jerusalem to live in, so that's why it has to be so big, right? I mean, it's a huge city that comes out of heaven.
Well, that, yeah.
I'm just throwing out things that come to me, you know, so it's...
But that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven is not the Jerusalem in the Middle East.
That's not the one there now, no.
No.
I think it's going to settle over that, maybe. Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah, it's a new heaven and a new earth. This is in the great beyond.
Yeah, and that's actually after the 1,000 years, now that I think about it.
So. Yeah, so I see this as in the great beyond when there is no death.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's when those promises are going to be fulfilled. And the funny thing is that since we're grafted into the same vine, we're on our way to the new Jerusalem as well.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever promises have been made to us are the same promises that were made to the Jews, that we have just become beneficiaries of that. And whether it provokes them to jealousy or whatever it does, we're grafted into the same vine. We're guaranteed the same kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one kingdom. I mean, when you separate an earthly kingdom and a heavenly kingdom, I think I don't buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to be part of that same kingdom that the Jews are going to be part of. I think it's all one kingdom. I think it's all in the great beyond.
Okay, after the 1,000 years and after the new heavens and new earth, or you give me some food for thought, man. You really are. So I'm gonna have to do some digging this next week.
But I did. As I read my Bible, as I have always read my Bible, I don't know. I've just had a hard time not seeing that we're all destined for the same kingdom.
Well, yeah, I would agree that ultimately I think we are. And when I'm still in my mind separating the earthly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom, eventually they will be one big happy kingdom.
Right.
And after the new heavens and the new earth, whenever that is.
Yeah, and I think whenever Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, depending who's writing the quote, He's talking about the same place.
Yeah, he could be. Yeah, I can see that. Again, what the Jews understood is probably completely different than
right.
what Jesus meant.
Exactly, and I think that was the thing with a lot of the apostles were preaching. I don't think they quite got the message.
Mm-hmm. You definitely give me some homework this week.
But like I said, if there's two gospels, it's pre-salvation and post-salvation gospels,
yeah.
the way I see them.
Okay.
And there's a lot of trouble comes in where the gospel of Peter, a lot of churches try and force that stuff on the born-again Christian to whom it doesn't apply.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah.
The big problem comes in.
Yeah.
You know, and the... Try to subject you to the laws and all. I mean, Ten Commandments is good advice, but your salvation doesn't depend on it.
Right. And again, going back to what I was saying earlier, I think that should be the main focus or the main emphasis on this whole two Gospels idea, is that Jesus and the 12 preached the law. They never preached you don't have to go to the temple and worship anymore. You don't have to follow the law. In fact, they tried to kill Paul when not the apostles necessarily, but other believers, tried to kill Paul when he told the Gentiles that they weren't under the law. And that should be the main focus. For us today, I think it takes away some of the confusion if we understand that what Jesus told Israel during his earthly ministry doesn't apply to us. Not all of it. I mean, I'm not saying that a lot of the spiritual stuff you talked about does. But as far as being under the law and what it takes to please God is different now than it was then.
Okay, for instance, repentance. You don't have to repent to be saved, according to the Gospel of Paul.
Right.
That we're saved through grace and not by works.
Right.
However, in very real terms, don't you think you have to be somewhat repentant in order to accept and believe?
I've always felt that the repentance comes as a result of our belief. There is still a place for repentance. We will, once we understand and accept what Christ did for us, that will cause us to repent. But I think Jesus and Peter and the apostles will very repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. And that's not what Paul taught. We are repentant because of our salvation. We aren't saved because of it. That's where I have always drawn that line. There is a place for repentance in the gospel of the grace of God, but it's a result of salvation, not the cause of it.
But there's also a place for baptism in the Spirit.
Right. As long as you don't always put water in front of baptism, then I would agree with that.
Right, which is what Jesus was preaching, that you needed that baptism. That in order for salvation, you have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That the Holy Spirit has to join up with your human side,
mm-hmm.
and that's what results in salvation. So there's not really two plans of salvation.
It's just... there isn't now. I think there was then. There was a transition period, I think. That's why what we read in the first eight or so chapters of Acts is so different from what you read from the rest of it and in Paul's letters.
Yeah, and I think all that leading up to the crucifixion of Christ and his resurrection was the earth being... so wrong. They had gotten it wrong. You know, like what they thought it all meant. They were just so far off course, and that's, you know, and then Jesus came down and set everybody straight.
Yeah, and the Jews didn't get it at first, obviously.
I don't think they ever got it.
No.
No,
they still don't. Right.
But I think it's important to point out that what the Jews were told amounts to what Paul is saying, only they obliterated any of the original meaning and converted it into what they thought it was supposed to be. that it's always been about grace.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and just once the Jews got hold of that and thought themselves to be special, that they were just guaranteed this and they could do no wrong.
Yeah.
And
because we're God's chosen people.
God's chosen people. Yeah, I think it's whatever Paul is preaching was the mysteries. You know, he doesn't just sit right down and say, okay, let me tell you a mystery, and then, okay, here's this mystery. Let me tell you where the Jews were wrong on this. And then, he's not quite that direct.
No, it'd be nice if he wrote a book called The Mysteries Revealed.
Right.
Here they are. Yeah. Now, they're definitely spread out throughout his letters.
But, you know, we run the risk as Christians thinking we've got belief, so we're the chosen ones. You know, and the shoe's on the other foot, and we could go just as wrongly down our path as the Jews went down their path.
Yeah, as evidenced by the thousands of denominations there are, we have gone down the wrong path.
Exactly.
For the most part. So. All right, like I say, you have definitely given me some things that I'm definitely going to have to, good thing I got an extra night on my shift this week, so stay up all night and study.
Yeah, I don't like the thought of being going down the road of replacement theology, but there's so much in the Bible points at that in my eyes. Granted, it kind of screws up a lot of prophecy, you know, end time prophecy stuff.
Yeah.
But
that's where the path takes us. That's where we got to go.
Right. And there's, I mean, to me, the only thing the prophecy's there for is to say, yeah. You know,
that's what I've been saying.
Yeah. You know, when Jesus comes, he's going to say, see, everything leading up to this, you knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But something didn't know.
Can't say I didn't tell you. All right, my brain hurts.
And mine too. Totally not where I was intending to take this. I was, like I said, I said, hey, give me something.
Yeah. Well, it's like we say in Sunday school classes, some of the best classes we have are the ones that don't follow our notes.
We have notes?
Well, I do, supposedly, as the sensei, as Dave would say. And this is completely all. I guess I can stop the recording. Anybody else got anything to say before we stop the recording?
Good night, y'all.
Mr. and Mrs. America and all ships at sea. Dave?
Next week. Good night, y'all.